I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
A show that, analytically, exists between 6 and 10 weekday mornings on Kansas City's only FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, buddy.
Live from the studios that brought you...
Hey, what's yo up, man?
Here's Bob Fesco and Dusty Likens.
All right, it's Red Friday. That's right. Games that matter but don't matter at all.
Hello, America.
You better believe it, Jerry.
I know exactly right.
Strawberry pie, baby. Games that matter that don't matter at all.
I love that. Games that matter that don't matter at all. Because trademark, that's what it is.
Trademarked
yeah.
it already, so I'll take the payments via Venmo.
Yeah, that's what the NFL should do, though, with these exhibition games. Games that matter that don't matter. Wait, say it again.
Games that matter that really don't matter.
That really don't matter. Yeah, they matter to the team. They matter to those players.
Shut your mouth. Don't even respond to that.
They don't matter to the fans, but yeah, they do. They matter to a lot of those guys.
They're still real to me, damn it. You know, that guy cried at the wrestling.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you guys. Still real to me, damn it.
Still real to me, damn it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you enjoy that.
These are my boys.
Boy, I'll tell
you. No,
they're not. Yeah, no, it's preseason football, man.
God, they don't care.
No, they don't really don't. I hate to be that guy, but they don't.
If you're Mahomes, would you travel?
No, absolutely not.
But he's going to be. He will be. They're going to. The Andy Reid. Shtick,
yeah, I mean, I think it's also Mahomes being that leader type guy.
So that's not a good look.
No, yeah. it is.
Is it not a good look for Stafford?
I
Stafford
didn't
was there.
Oh, he did travel.
Stafford McDuffie did travel. McDuffie and Watson did it. Yeah. Stafford was there. He's the quarterback.
So is that a bad look on McDuffie and Watson?
Some Chiefs fans would say
yeah,
so.
Of course they would, but I mean, no, it's not. It's what your boss is telling you to do. Hey, guys, take this trip off. We're getting ready to go to Australia.
Charter's
kind of
full.
Yeah, I mean, we got 90 players. We want to get a look at some. I think Watson and McDuffie are going to make the team, right?
Watson, like, yes!
I don't think that's a big deal for them to not go, because I think they're going to make the team. Let some of these other guys go and play that probably wouldn't. And so, you know, give up your seat on the play. I have no issue with guys skipping these preseason games if they're not going to be a part of it, because then you just become like a distraction standing there on the sidelines playing grab ass for 4 hours.
Like Travis will travel, right? Would it be a bad look if he didn't go?
No, it's just really the quarterback to me, but I think everyone should go. You're part of the team.
Yeah.
You should go.
Unless the coach is saying, hey guys, this is what we're going to do. Yeah. Because like even last year when the Chiefs were complaining about the travel at the beginning of the year, remember we had to go to Seattle and Arizona and Brazil. Then you should have given those guys that time to Seattle off and not taken them on that trip and really rested their legs a little bit. And so
you also coined yourself the world's team.
Yeah,
so
well,
that kind of comes with the package.
Kind of does. Ben,
no, sorry.
You're absolutely right about it. You said you wanted to be the world team. Here you go. Play to the world.
6-11.
Yeah.
All right.
You get to play, you know, on the world stage. But, you know, I think maybe after that happened with the Chiefs, you know, these coaches all talk and whatever. I'm sure Andy said something to like, God, we had to do all this travel. And Sean McVay probably kind of picked up on that and went, yeah, you know, if we're going to be traveling to Australia, why make these guys travel in the preseason? Take the mileage off their legs and let's let some of these other guys play. So I don't really have an issue with that if it means better health for these players and not cramping them on a, you know, a tube and flying across the country for a game they're not going to participate
in. Dave? That's why you got to get up and do the high knees like Russell Wilson, man.
Oh, yeah.
A.K.A. Patrick Mahomes.
A.K.A. Patrick Mahomes. That's exactly right.
I imagine Kelsey wants to go. I mean, this is his last year. Every experience that he can get, he's not going to miss out on anything
like
that.
Is this the last time we've been in Tampa since the blowout Super Bowl?
I don't think so.
When else would you have been in? Am I wrong on that?
Wasn't there a regular season game
down
there?
Was that regular season game after the Super Bowl? I think it was when he had that awesome pass to Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the back of the end zone.
Well, there was a regular season game before the Super Bowl that year where we beat Tampa down there.
Yeah, that was the Tyreek Hill explosion.
Exactly. Yeah, that was before the Super Bowl. I don't know after the Super Bowl since I think there had to have been at least one. I mean, that's been so long. That was 2020, that Super Bowl.
Yeah, then that
the 2021 season.
Yeah. Mahomes had a sick game in Tampa. Okay. That pass to Clyde in the back of the end zone.
Did
my brother was there. Yeah,
Okay, so they played down there since. But you know, no, like if you're Trey Smith, if you're, you know, Josh Simmons, guys like that aren't going to play, I'm not getting on that plane. I'm not making them get on that plane. Again, you've got some injuries you're nursing too, being 35,000 feet up, pressurized cabin. That doesn't help anybody. So
no.
I think if you're nursing stuff and you're dealing with stuff, it's just better to stay home. There's no reason to go. So yeah, I mean, I can definitely see both ways on this, but as we've, you know, developed and gotten older and we know more about our bodies and rest and all this kind of stuff, the more rest you can give these guys right now, I think it's beneficial for a long season.
Mac, have you ever gotten out of something that maybe you were kind of like 50-50 or like on the fence about, like, do you love her? like, have you ever...
like an event or like hanging out with somebody or what?
Or maybe like, I don't know, like, so yeah, like say an event, say they're like 2 weeks ago, your buddies were like, hey, Saturday, blah, blah, blah. You're like, all right, I don't really have anything going on. Then all of a sudden, like Shivana doesn't have to work or like switch to shift, but you've got to figure out a way out of it. So you come up with like the most lame ass excuse.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Where you're like, ah, kind of woke up this morning, got a migraine, but you know you're about to like...
The kid's got a thing.
Right? That's yeah. a good one, right?
Yep. No, like, that's, I mean, that's hey, a layup.
Woke up this morning, kid's got something wrong yeah. with the throat. Like, yeah. we yeah. just don't want to... It could be contagious. Meanwhile, you're at home, cocktails, pizza's in the oven, TV's on, you're having time of your life.
Right, you just don't want to go. Yeah, you just don't want to go. Yeah.
Is this what the Big 12's doing with Monster?
Yeah, I think exactly. so. Yeah, they just don't exactly want this deal right doing. Now. Yeah. yeah. Like, I mean, my God. The doctors are now saying it's bad for the kids, and no. so Karen's out there.
You look good there.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, this is totally Big 12 saying, nah, well, this deal sucks. Well, we I mean,
they've got too much sugar.
Yeah, they've gotten so shamed by this deal because it really is a bad deal.
Started on this show.
Yeah, it really did. It really did start on this show. I mean, it's a terrible deal. $20 million a year sounds like a lot divided by 16 teams.
Two.
And then, right, yeah, so everybody's down to like $6 by the time, yeah. you know, the taxes are taken out and commission checks are written. So nobody's getting any money.
And it looks like ass.
And it looks terrible. Ugh. And the logo is everywhere. It's on everybody's football jersey. Somebody showed a picture of Allen Fieldhouse. Now it's on the floor in there.
Oh, they should have put it like on the bird's face.
yeah, yeah, right. Put it on the, yeah, right. Put it on the Jayhawk. It's just right there. But like,
monster.
Rock chalk, mother effer.
It is a bad deal for the Big 12 right now.
Yeah, you got to get out.
You got to bolt out. On this
you
thing.
You know what? Pay them $2 million right back. Every school, pay them all back $2 million. Yep. See ya.
Yeah, just get it's the hell it. Out of this thing, man, because it's a bad deal. Now you got every mother out there getting doctors involved saying it's a bad deal because, which it is. I mean, these energy drinks are terrible for
you. You know what they really need to do? They need to get that lady from the viral video back in like 06 when she's talking about it's the devil's juice. Have you seen that video?
Oh, dude.
She's like, here's the deal.
Yeah.
M, upside down, 3. Prongs 666 yeah. devil water yeah. and she goes on this huge ordeal about oh yeah put that on like the every big yes. stream before a game's like yeah. here comes the Jayhawk video upside down M devil's juice.
I've never seen fans though get so pissed off about a sponsorship deal.
It's monster, right? I mean, it's like NASCAR and UFC. Stay in your lane.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, but people like are legitimately pissed about this type of thing, and it probably should go away because it doesn't do anything for anybody. I mean, you know, KU got more money going out and selling their own jersey patch than this Monster Energy.
Last time you had a Monster,
never.
Okay,
no, never. I won't. I don't drink energy drinks. I think they're. I don't. Okay. You know, I'm not. As, yeah, I'm going to go that way with the lady, but I don't think they're good for you. I think they smell terrible. I think they're horrible for your health. And so I'm not touching these.
Never had a Red Bull vodka.
Well, of course, when it first came out, I was like, ugh, this is awful.
But you never like went, you never like got up, we're like, okay, I'm gonna go get a Red Bull. Or
no,
I'm gonna go, okay.
No, Red Bull to me always just, it smells like puke. I'm just going to be quite honest with you. Yeah. I hate the smell of Red Bull.
There's the quote, tip the drink, down goes the devil.
Yeah.
yes. I mean, she had it all laid
out.
Oh,
yeah.
So props to her for at least having research. It's a like whatever. List. It's like yeah. somebody comes up to you and goes, man, tell you what, man, freaking that guy sucks. Okay, well, then what do you want instead? Oh, I don't know. It's like, well, I need something to go off of, you know? But yeah, tip the drink, down goes the devil. But yeah, that's yeah. It was horrible deal from day one.
Yeah.
Because I
Monster loves the deal. They're getting more attention out of this deal for the $20 million of people ripping on it and talking about Monster than they're probably going to get for having their logo on a floor.
You never know what's going to be a logo. Or, I mean, a sponsor. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what would be, because now the Big 12 is, like, so spread out, right? You have, like, Central Florida, Utah's in the Big 12, yeah. right? Arizona State, Cincinnati. Like, you'd think, like, how do you make that regional? But, like, you just really can't. Like, there's, you know, I don't know. But Monster's a horrible sponsor.
Yeah, it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
Looks terrible.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I did used to drill the zero sugar white can.
The white can's good. I went through like a month phase of Monster.
Same.
Just like shaking each time. And I was like, this is not
I just
good.
Remember
I would drink energy drinks.
It always
really
takes one person in your life to give you the interesting stat where you're like, oh, it's like those Alani's. 200 grams of caffeine. Yeah. And that little bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of them around here anymore.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Because if I'm already unbearable by about 7:45 in the morning. If I have one of those. Okay. Six. five. I'm like that squirrel in Over the Hedge where he drinks the Red Bull and it pauses. And then I'm just like, I can't do that. That's just too much. And then when someone told me it was that many It's either milligrams or I've got to think it's grams. 200 caffeine. I'm just like, why are we doing that?
Yeah, it's like drinking cocaine. It's 6 a.m.
Do you think
yeah,
one day energy drinks will be like cigarettes were?
Should be.
How they were on billboards and this guy's cool because he smokes and he's yeah, a camel. Like, why do I think that's attractive to me?
Right.
And then in, you know, future years, it's like MTV's going, energy drinks actually kill people.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like I hope have the so. Surgeon
I don't
general,
know if that
yeah,
would happen today with cigarettes because of how much money they make. I don't know if they would do that now with how greedy people are.
Well, they used to.
Like, what do you mean?
You don't remember well, cigarettes?
I don't know if they would have done that whole campaign of telling us actually they were bad for ourselves because it actually makes so much money. Back in the day, people had a heart. People had morals. I don't know if that happens as
oh,
much today.
I see what you're saying. You're yeah, thinking the morals of things? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but, like, it makes too much money. We're look, just not going to say anything.
Energy drinks are awful for you. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Well, they taste not, good, though.
I don't think they do, though. That's
Rooster
the other
Booster
thing.
Booster Slush?
Nah, never.
Celsius
I never thought...
is... do taste really
yeah,
good.
I just, it was never for me, right? It was just never a flavor that I liked. I never liked any of that stuff. And so I'm like, I'm out. And I know they're not healthy for you. I mean, you can feel
yeah,
your heart
oh, yeah, oh,
beating
yeah,
out of your chest. Oh, and so yeah, you've got a company where your heart
chest,
beats out of
my
your
neck.
Right. And yeah, they're sponsoring athletes, like high level college athletes. You're suggesting kids who watch should drink Monster Energy drink. I mean, that's essentially what that is. So I don't blame the people for trying to get out of this thing and trying to move forward because it was a bad deal. Financially, it's a bad deal. Financially, it's a terrible deal for the Big 12. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Makes no sense at all. Yeah, Big 12. It's definitely going to happen, though, if you ask me. Coming up next, Chiefs dominate preseason as well, but also kind of an interesting injury yesterday and what it means moving forward with this defensive line here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Kyra Stonga, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Happy Friday morning. Tip drink, down goes the devil. Wow, okay. Look like we might get a little bit of a little storm system tonight around 8 p.m. Early bedtime for Mac Morey, he says. Chiefs play tomorrow night, 5:30, I believe. Hey, don't forget tonight, first episode of the new season of the franchise.
That's right, on tonight.
7 o'clock, I believe,
nice.
YouTube. So make sure you watch that because you have nothing else going on in your night except watching the franchise and getting juiced up for this season as we are almost there. We're almost there. And my bet, it was milligrams of caffeine. Definitely not grams.
Yeah, not
someone
grams,
goes,
yeah,
if it was 200 grams, you'd be dead.
Dead, yeah.
But who am I to judge? I have probably way too much coffee every morning, but here we are. I do want to get to this Gelati injury that we found out yesterday on the last day, as he has like a torn plantar fasciitis.
They're saying
something.
Ruptured plantar fasciitis.
It's a tough
right,
one, right? Onomatopoeia, or however you spell that word. But again, I mean, and we'll dive into that because we talk about the Chiefs being on. We talk about, you know, the franchise and about all of you loyal fans out there that will watch because you will, because we know it. The ratings for preseason down a little bit so far, but Chiefs viewership is not because the Rams and the Chiefs set a decade high rating number when it came to their preseason game last weekend.
Well, it's because that's what people want. They want the Chiefs. I mean, it's crazy that even after that 6-11 season, the Chiefs are still the team that's getting all the recognition and all the eyeballs on, you know, what's going on. Now, the Rams are obviously a top team as well, but everybody knew they weren't bringing anybody. But to have the highest watched preseason game nationally in a decade involving the Kansas City Chiefs shows you the draw that this team continues to have and shows you why they're continually on, you know, Monday Night Football, watching Monday Night Football last night or whatever we were calling it on ESPN, and them constantly previewing the Chiefs game and getting ready for their first game on, you know, September 14th. And this team is still an intriguing football team. It's still a fun football team. And Patrick Mahomes is still the biggest damn draw in the NFL. And coming off injury now, there's probably a lot more people that want to see what's going to happen with the Kansas City Chiefs because you'll have your two groups of the grouping that thinks it's over, that roots against them, and people like me who believe 17-0, 35-0, let's go, that are going to be rooting for them. And so they're the perfect team to have have on any national television schedule. 2.5 million people watched that preseason game the other night.
Yeah, Rams Chiefs surpassed last year's Dolphins Bears game to become the most watched Week One preseason game of on NFL Network since 2015. Viewership was up 9% from Saints Chargers, roughly 2.18 million in the same window last year. Did the time slot have anything to do with it? Because wasn't that game at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, it was, which I would think would hurt it, quite honestly.
Because that's, and maybe I'm, you know, ignorant on this, isn't like 2:30, 3 o'clock like considered prime time for college football?
Well, for college football, it is the prime window. Yeah, it is. But we're also in the middle of summer right now, too.
No sports yet.
Yeah, but even still, we're still in the middle of summer. I mean, people are going to the pool. People are doing kids stuff. You got stuff going on. Like 3 o'clock on a Saturday, I'll be honest with you, as a parent, that time sucks because there is a lot going on usually if you're in the mix of everything. And so I just don't look at that as a great time on a random Saturday in August. And that's why it was only 2.5 million people. I mean, it's not like we're breaking records and setting
No. I'm just saying because it's up and, you know, the teams are irrelevant, I guess, when it comes to, like, because Dolphins, Bears, like, why would that be a huge...
Bears was a good draw last year with Caleb Williams. Yeah. And it's a big market, too. And I think the Dolphins were kind of intriguing, I think, at this point of the year last year. You didn't really know what they were going to do. Tyreek Hill was still part of the program down there. And, you know, they were still trying to... But not enough to watch a preseason game. I think that was probably all with Caleb Williams, of people wanting to see kind of the new offense there. But 3 o'clock is a good time for a... If you're in the swing of things during college football and there's a big game on, 3 o'clock in August on a Saturday afternoon when it's summertime, people are still at the lake and doing their thing. So I don't know. I just think that's a bad time. If I was going to do a preseason game, I think like the perfect time would probably be a Saturday night.
Like Saturday 5:30?
Yeah, 6 o'clock, probably 7 o'clock, you know, whatever, you know, time that is to kind of have a Saturday night game. People kind of do their day on Saturday and then go out to the game. But I mean, you see these preseason, not a lot of people going to any of these preseason games.
Well, yeah, especially last week when it was 117 on the field. I don't know if you really want to do that.
Yeah, and that was the other thing. 3 o'clock on a Saturday?
Yeah, going out to the game, and we're talking about watching it, though. You know, ratings, you know.
Yeah.
That's different than going out to the game.
Yeah, I don't think people set aside time to watch preseason
football. I disagree with you on this very game, because that was the first Chiefs game where they haven't had, you know, because that's where the market moved. That's where the needle spiked was probably Kansas City, because the season ended so quickly last year. Your baseball team hasn't really given you a lot to cheer for. They did sweep the A's. That was kind of cool. But I think a lot of people were, you know, ready to watch football. And it was at 3 o'clock. And I know you say we're in the middle of summer, but in the way of life, we are at the very end of summer.
Sure we are.
Some kids are already back in school. Mm-hmm. Some kids are going back to school. At least Summit goes back, I believe, Wednesday next week, finally. And I think that so many people were interested in watching football, at least in this demographic, that I think people did plan Saturday for it.
Yeah, maybe they did, yeah.
And again, like, to your point exactly, but maybe like the opposite approach, people had the whole evening. You're not watching four quarters of football, right? Yeah, especially that one. As soon as Oladokun's in, you're like, all right, what do we need to do tonight? I'll start prepping dinner. Or 3 to 5 o'clock, you're like, that 2 hour window is blocked off. I just want to chill, watch whatever is entertaining on the game. And oh my God, this Emmitt Johnson guy's really good.
Yeah.
And then 5 o'clock, you go do your thing.
Yeah.
But I think to your point also, to play both sides of it, I don't think in preseason people are ever like, hey, Bill, hey, Saturday, I'll be over a little late. Game's on at 1. You know, you're not doing that.
No, you're not. Yeah, you're not having a watch party for the preseason game.
And I think you'll see a dip in game 2.
Oh, I would think so, because, too, especially this one being like 5:30 or 6 o'clock. I mean, that's kind of in the wheelhouse of everybody getting ready to go out the door and do their thing on Saturday night. So
perfect window for dinner.
Yeah, like you got your
itch last week. You know, you got three more weeks until it starts. You're not trying to.
You said that was better time.
Yeah, what's
6
that?
O'clock. You just were saying
Saturday
that's better
night
time.
For TV.
Saturday was better than 3 o'clock.
No, I think Saturday night's fine for TV. If you're going to watch it on TV, it's fine. I don't think Saturday at 3 o'clock is good for TV at all. No, I don't. I think it's terrible.
No,
for
I agree with you,
game.
But you were just saying people are going to get ready to do their stuff Saturday night. They're going to be rolling out the window.
That's what I'm saying.
You're just saying that time slot's not good. So you're saying both time slots aren't good.
No. I'm saying about that 3 o'clock time slot isn't good because you're busy with stuff. And then if you're going out, you're going out. Maybe you catch the game at the bar or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm speaking for me. I've got things going on tomorrow. I may catch the game. I may not catch the game. Right. It's just one of those type of things. And I think that's where a lot of people are with these preseason games. I think Saturday night at 7 o'clock, if you're trying to fill a stadium, you're trying to get a draw. draw, maybe that's the best time to do that if you're trying to fill up your ballpark for something like that. I don't think there's really any great time for preseason games on TV except last night, you know, Thursday night, something like that. A.M.
8 a.m. on a Saturday,
morning would be fantastic. You know, do something different like that.
Absolutely
I don't think people prioritize preseason football.
Yeah.
And I don't think they should prioritize preseason football. Well, there's one guy that does, but you know, but for the most of us, you know, like, yeah, the game's on, but I've got other stuff going on. Yeah. I prioritize the regular season and postseason, obviously, but the preseason is just, if it's on, it's on. If it's not, it's not. If I got a minute here and a minute there, that's great. But I think that's the way most people are with the preseason stuff. There's your diehards.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, because especially now, right? You know, because now you know more young names, like, you know, Cyrus Allen. He's going to be on the field on Saturday, so we get to see him. By the way, I don't know if you guys saw what Micah Parsons had to say about the Chiefs. We'll get into that a little bit later as well, as he doesn't think the Chiefs put enough around Patrick Mahomes to win the AFC West.
Who said that?
Micah Parsons. Do you want the quote?
That's fair.
Okay. I do not think the Chiefs put enough around Patrick Mahomes to win the AFC West or go make another title run. They let go of every bit of their talent, pretty much. Trent McDuffie left, and you just don't let those types of players leave.
Who's asking him about the Chiefs?
I don't know, but then podcast. He said it's hard for me to say that they are ready to win. They're wide receivers. I just don't see them really threatening anyone. They've got an older Kelce who's a Hall of Famer, but you can't bank on him to win.
Ready for ESPN right now with these takes.
We also don't know what Mahomes is going to look like after that injury. Does he miss a couple of games? I don't know.
Oh, my God. This is why we don't ask athletes their opinions on things, because they're clueless. I mean, let's go, Michael. Come on now.
Broncos, Chargers, Chiefs, Raiders. His AFC West prediction.
Broncos, Chargers, Chiefs, Raiders.
Yep.
Michael Parsons is on the record of doing that. Great.
He just BBL copy and pasted
stinky.
2026.
I mean, those are just bad takes. I don't even know. Did he just say he doesn't know Patrick Mahomes? Like, who's asking him about his take on the NFL? But like I said, those are perfect takes for ESPN and national networks.
Yeah.
Because those are bad takes.
If he was talking about the last few years, I would totally agree with him. I mean, yeah, we've all talked about that. Not surrounding Mahomes with enough talent. That's happening. I mean, his number one wide receiver last year is not going to make the team in Philly if he weren't for making $5 million to Hollywood Brown.
They may trade him, though.
Number one receivers a couple years ago are out of the league. Like, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's conversations to be had, but
sure.
He doesn't know about the rookies and the draft class and things like that.
That is harsh to a point. His number one wide receiver was that guy because of default.
Fair, but it was
one of your receivers that you did surround him with talent happens to be an idiot outside of the field.
Yeah.
The other one ran into Travis Kelce. So, therefore, it was Juju by a little bit. But I'm with you as
Hollywood
well.
Brown.
I'm everywhere.
Brown was a big part of the what we were talking about before the season.
And you
was a big
liked
part
him.
Of the stuff. I did.
I was wrong. You went to the bat about how he actually doesn't miss a lot
of games. Doesn't miss games. Yeah, no, I was, of course.
And he missed a lot of games.
And he missed games, and he wasn't good. And
he was a failure last year. And I think also, too, though, your top two wide receivers go down. Was he here 2 years? That's right, he was. He was injured that first year. That's right.
Injured his clavicle in the first preseason game.
First preseason game, and then it was out, and we never saw him again. And then so with a guy like, you know, Hollywood Brown and some of these wide receivers, what are you supposed to do? Like Dusty said, your top two wide receivers are out. Like, nobody has a third that's a one. You just don't.
Yeah, and we don't know if those top two wide receivers, how good they really are yet.
Right.
So we'll see if they're
again,
good.
I just
and
said
then they've
that,
added a fifth round pick.
And I just said that because it was a little bit of a smart ass line to say his number one just got cut by the Giants. Because, I mean, it was his number one by default last year. But I'm also with you. Where is the talent? You know, you had Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. And you thought they were going to be okay.
Yeah.
And then you had to go out. But we'll see. That in the past now, hopefully they move forward. We like this draft.
Yes.
We are a little bit concerned, with the Gelati injury.
I mean,
what does that say to you about Gelati now? That's 2 years. We're talking about injuries.
Exactly right.
The best ability is availability.
2 in 2 years.
And now it means what? One of two things. Either it's this is your last shot, FAU. Or does R. Mason Thomas just say, F it, let me just run wild?
Well, I think both are making the team, though.
I'm not saying anybody's getting cut.
Yeah.
They don't have anyone.
Yes. Yeah. I'm saying this because, like, Felix Anduke Uzama has been a heel in this city since he was drafted in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, he's from K-State, no one cares. And just they've never seen it on the field, and they don't believe it's ever going to be there. And it gets thrown in Brett Veach's face of a failed draft pick. It's always so easy to find ones that, you know, stick out the most instead of going and being like, let's look at 22. Let's possibly look at 26. But, hey, he drafted FAU. Cool, man. But this is, to me, Uzama's like fat, like his it's his last chance. Like, it's, hey man, Gelati's hurt, a guy we drafted after you, who was probably going to play more than you, who is now going to be out until maybe Halloween. FAU's got a chance, but then also Armes and Thomas, who we say, you know, this is why I say preseason games are meaningless, but they're not. Because if Armes and Thomas goes out there again this week, guys, and shows the explosiveness and shows them what they want to see, we might see more of him than we thought we might have seen all year.
Well, I think we're going to see a lot of Armes and Thomas. I don't know that this injury really affects how much he was going to play, because he's a stud. I mean, he's got so much speed. You can't keep that guy off the field. And now, you know, FAU's got an opportunity. They've loved what he's done in camp so far, so he's got an opportunity. And this is his last chance. They already declined the fifth-year offer, you know, on FAU. So this is his make-it-or-break-it season, not just here, but potentially elsewhere in the NFL as well. And so he's got a lot riding on this. And so I think when you're dealing with athletes, and hopefully, and maybe this is me just being altruistic with this, but I think when you're playing for your job and you're playing for your livelihood, you step it up and you play big. And so hopefully FAU can do that this year, because he is playing for his livelihood again, not just here, but potentially with other teams. And if he doesn't do good here, there's 31 other teams that are saying, we got other guys that we can go with as well. So it's an opportunity right now for FAU. And you look at, you know, Gelati, they're saying 3 weeks for this ruptured patellar tendon, or not patellar tendon, but plantar fasciitis in his foot. And so 3 weeks can get by with that, but you just got to move on, and somebody else needs to step up. Like, yeah, injuries happen. What are you going to do about it? You know, you just move on. And that's why you have depth. That's why you went out in the draft and stocked your defensive line. And so now you just got to kind of figure things out, and hopefully he heals quick. He's a fast healer, and you can get him back out there when you get him back out there, but you just got to move on in these situations.
Like the worst position group for this to happen too, pretty much. We've talked about how thin it was. They had four guys that I would not even say trusted, because FAU, we don't trust. Armes and Thomas is a rookie. We had four guys that were going to play, and now Emmanuel Ogba will play.
Of course.
Has to play.
He's more than a practice squad.
He's now more than a practice squad guy.
Tyreek Smith. Like, that's a name that's going to be on the field. That's a nobody that's going to have to play
snaps.
We
might as well cancel the season with Tyreek Smith on the field. I mean,
I thought they were getting Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
This is his cousin. Because if you look at...
I'm not saying cancel the season, but you know what I mean, Bob. It's a thin position group, and that was someone that was very important.
Is it, though? I mean, like, we were talking about beginning a camp, Mac, of going eight deep on the defensive line.
No, you were, and then I made the correction to say defensive line and edges. We do not have edge rushers. Get ready to see Chris Jones way more out on the edge. You know, you might have to see Peter Woods be more versatile. Those are defensive linemen, interior. Edge rushers,
I mean,
they have four guys. We've been talking about that all offseason.
And you play two edge rushers at a time, and so, you know, four-man defensive line, one edge rusher, two guys in the middle, another edge rusher. So that you've got two guys behind them. I mean,
and we don't like any of these guys. Well, we got questions on Karloff.
I disagree with you, though. I don't hate these people like you do, okay?
I don't hate them. I'm just saying we don't trust any of these guys.
But that's you. I don't feel that way. I feel like you're in the system long enough, and if Steve Spagnuolo is putting you out there and trust you in those situations, do they all need to play better? Yes, I'm not saying that. Everybody needs to step their game up and play better. But I can't be like you and sit here. I don't trust those guys. That's not true.
You trust FAU right now.
Do I trust him to do what?
Be productive.
To get to the quarterback. They've been bottom five in sacks the last two seasons.
To be honest with you, Mac, I don't know. I don't have enough evidence to say whether or not I trust him to get to the quarterback. But I think this season for me, he's been injured. You know, do I trust his availability? No. Do I trust his ability on the field? I don't know.
Which is a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem when you have four guys.
You should know what you're getting. And like, we know that that's a problem, because George Karloftis is not. Okay, I think there's only one group that thinks of Karloftis, and I think that's his own group. That's his ownership. Like, that's the team that is giving him the contract. I don't think George Karloftis, I'll be honest with you, I don't trust George Karloftis to get to the quarterback.
Okay,
I said
that's
it
fine.
Out loud.
Yeah, that's
because he hasn't done it his entire career except for one playoff run.
Yep.
And that was great.
And it was awesome.
That was great. Trust me, I'm not taking that away from him.
Right, yeah.
But that was 2022. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know when FAU's on the field. That's a problem. I admit, I am worried about FAU as a defensive edge. Armes and Thomas, that's where I'm on your side of the field. I don't know what to expect, because I've never seen him play. Now, I watched him play against the Rams, but that wasn't against their starting team.
No, but you could see speed with that guy.
But I know that I have more interest in him because
really
he shows me something that none of these guys have shown in the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you... This is why they couldn't get off the field last year. Because Justin Herbert, Bo Nix, and whoever else in your division was playing quarterback knew they had all the time in the world. And when you have all the time in the world, your confidence expands. And when you have that confidence, I don't care if you're Bo Nix or Bo Craps, you're going to be able to do things on the field. You have to have somebody that gets to the quarterback, and they don't have edge pieces. And when Jones goes outside, they then go inside because you didn't have the depth there. Now, thankfully,
you do have the depth there. Thankfully, now you have some other defensive linemen.
Those are edge.
He's talking about if you have to move Jones outside, then you've got guys that can fill in, where last year you didn't have guys that could fill in.
And that also, I don't like that, because then Jones isn't going to, he's not quick enough to get outside. He's just going to stop the edge, and then they're going to go inside.
Well, unless he goes the wrong way.
Which he's done.
Yeah, I know.
I don't trust Chris Jones as an edge rusher, but I obviously love him at defensive tackle. I just think that, you know, this is something where, like, it's FAU, you have to step up.
But we're acting like Gelati was this huge piece to a puzzle, though. I mean, he is a second-year guy, okay, and he played good last year. But it's not like I don't think we're rewriting the season because this guy is down. There are other guys out there that are allowed to step up, right? FAU is allowed to get better.
Yeah.
George Karloftis is allowed to get better. I understand but they're allowed to get better. But we have not seen him enough to play. And so I'm anxious to see FAU play a little bit and see, you know, what he can do. Maybe he has been a diamond in the rough that's just been dealing with injuries or dealing with the right situation or whatever the case may be.
He played 17 games in 17 games in 23 and 24. He was there. Yeah. He was healthy. I mean, it's 34 games. I mean, at some point, there's enough evidence. And that's actually part of the point. You're talking about Peter Woods. He wasn't some big factor. Ashton Gelati wasn't some big factor. That's the point. They didn't have a big factor of the edge. They just lost someone with a thin position group, that with guys that were optimistic about. You know, camp clips of FAU look solid. R. Mason Thomas, the speed's there.
Yeah, but down on it. I'm not. And so you can tell me.
I'm not saying I'm down. I'm just saying there's not any knowns here. There's no trust that I have with any of these guys yet. They're going to have to build that. And there is evidence with some of this.
Well,
they have not been able to pressure the quarterback.
You're right.
There's analytics. There's stats to go off of. We eye test, whatever you want to do. They've struggled to get to the quarterback.
Sure they have. And they got new guys in here now. So let them go out there and see what they can do. Like, I'm excited to watch FAU. I am. Yeah. I'm excited to watch George Karloftis in this system with another guy potentially on the edge and R. Mason Thomas that can get to the quarterback. Other guys on the defensive line that can push the pocket. Maybe Karloftis gets more one-on-ones. Like, I'm going into it like, these guys are going to get better. I trust these guys. I trust this coaching staff. Mm-hmm. I trust them to put the players in the best possible positions. And I trust these players. Like, you're playing for your livelihood out here right now. Go out there and dominate.
And to go to what you're saying about Gelati and what this text message is saying about Gelati, like saying that everyone's asking like he's Frank Clark. No, he's just, to me, he's just been that much better than FAU, which is not a high bar. I'm not saying that, like, you know, he was here and FAU's here. I'm just saying from what I noticed Gelati on the field last year. Yeah, you could say it was his hair, whatever. But I noticed when he was on the field, when FAU's on the field and they're like, I'm like, who was that? Oh, that's Felix. Good man. He got in there. Good for you.
Yeah.
But again, and I'm not saying the sky is falling because of this, but like, we had the conversation about the bullpen in February.
Mm-hmm.
We're having the conversation about getting to the quarterback in August.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what we're talking about in October.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I just believe in this coaching staff and these guys and these players, and I think they're going to step up. Like, they were embarrassed last year, too. I mean, nobody wants to go through what they went through last year. I think it's a renewed sense of optimism. I think it's a renewed sense of focus. Like, you're hearing all the stuff. I think they got lazy last year, man. From top to bottom, the entire organization got lazy last year. And now they understand that, and they're not lazy this year. And I don't think that's a negative thing to say. It's human nature. You know, Jimmy Buffett, it's human nature to miscalculate. And you think that you're just rolling along, everything's going to be fine. And then, boom, it's always in life. You hit a brick wall, and all of a sudden you're like, you're not ready for that. And that's where the Chiefs were. They were just cruising along, thinking everything was great. And then, boom, that brick wall hit, and now they had to divert, and they had to adjust, and they had to change, and they had to do different things. I guarantee you every one of these players that was on that team last year that's back this year worked out differently this offseason, focused differently this offseason, put more effort into the offseason than they had before, because they're coming off a 6-11 season. And that's why I think the 6-11 year may turn out to be one of the most important things in this new wave of this dynasty.
We'll get to pressure and what it means for CJ Stroud moving forward in the NFL this season, plus others here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Marcel Delane, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, back at it here, 96.5 The Fan on a Friday morning. Fesco and Dusty with you. Dusty's over there looking at the beautiful sunrise this morning because I sent him over there. I said, look at that sunrise behind the clouds. You got to go look at it right now. And it's just this glowing, bright orb behind the clouds. It looks really cool this morning. So if you're out there driving around right now, check out that sunrise. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be hot, but it's going to be a beautiful day today.
Is it going to be hot?
I don't know. In the 90s maybe today? It seems like it. It seems like it's going to be a warm
90s,
day.
Yep.
Yeah, the next couple of days will be a little bit warmer. Then it's going to cool back down and get you into the 80s for the rest of August. But again, it is August and we are in the Midwest. And so enjoy the hot weather, man, because before you know it, snow.
No. I don't like that. I'm a big anti-snow guy.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't go to Penn State.
Yep, exactly. Their whiteout game's going to be fun this year.
You think they will still do that?
I don't know. I think you have to still do that, right? Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. I mean, what a cocaine ring that thing is. That story is fascinating.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Fascinating
story.
Well,
it just keeps coming, like, with new developments.
I mean, I still think the best part about that whole story is the 50-year-old father, the high-powered attorney from Pittsburgh that was involved in this thing. And it's all these kids, and then there's dad. I mean, like, was he doing the legal work behind the scenes for these guys?
Yeah, exactly. He was the numbers man.
Man, those kids are going to jail, bro. Like, that would suck. What'd you do? Well, I was running one of the biggest coke rings on a college campus. What'd you do? I murdered a few people. Cool. We'll be friends.
Yep.
Saddle up to that guy.
I think I'm okay on that. I think I would. Yeah, I think I'm good when it comes to those guys. Last night when the Texans and the Raiders played, a lot of focus on CJ Stroud.
No doubt.
Obviously had a rough playoff run in 2025, had a great rookie year, right? Maybe the best rookie quarterback year we've seen in a while. And then Jaden Daniels was like, hold on. And then now we're seeing both quarterbacks, who's going to get a contract with more money, right? I don't know. But CJ Stroud going forward into this year, a lot of pressure on that young man. He's got a really good defense, dude. A really good defense that could literally take you to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And if CJ Stroud can just be as good as, I don't know, Peyton Manning with one arm, they can do that because that defense looks a lot like that Denver defense that won a Super Bowl. Ride the coattails of Von Miller and that defensive line and just don't turn the ball over. Because if you remember, Brock Osweiler started for like four games because they were like, all right, Peyton, we just need you to put that glove on. You know, once Peyton put the glove on, I knew it was over. And we just need you to throw the ball and get first downs and win every game 17 to, you know, 7.
Yeah.
And that's what CJ Stroud has to do. And if CJ Stroud can do that, CJ Stroud will get the $70 million that he is asking.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if they go out there and they win the division, they're a playoff team again, and they go far into the, and they have gone far into the playoffs, guys. They're in the divisional round every year, right? And last year they got knocked out and CJ Stroud played awful in that game, and you make the case he was the reason why they lost that playoff game, right? He stunk out loud, and so he has to get over those playoff, you know, it's not about what he does this regular season on whether or not he's going to get paid. It's a matter of what he does in the playoffs. And if they get knocked out by Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs again in the postseason and CJ Stroud plays really well, you just tip your cap and you go, hey, we got beat by Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. There's not much more that we can do, but I think he is going to get paid. And, you know, they were talking on ESPN last night before the game started about this being Super Bowl expectations and Super Bowl or bust for the Houston Texans. And I was like, wow, okay. I guess you can probably have those Super Bowl or bust expectations for the Houston Texans, but to hear somebody say it out loud, I was kind of like, oh, all right. So the Houston Texans now are considered one of those great teams in the NFL, which they should be. Based on that defense, this is a Texans team that probably should make it to the AFC Championship game. They've got enough talent to do so. But again, it all matters who's in your way and who those people are that you're going to have to overcome. The good thing for CJ Stroud is the best defense he's ever going to face is in practice.
The quote that you're referring to is, this is a Super Bowl caliber football team. I have said it all offseason. There is no quarterback under more pressure than CJ Stroud. I believe that came from Peter Schrager.
And, Dano.
Or Dano. Yeah, Dan Orlovsky. And I think this is actually why C.J. Stroud wasn't good last year.
Just the mental. Is he able to flush that playoff stretch and obviously performance against New England? This is a Super Bowl caliber football team. I have said all offseason there is no quarterback under more pressure than C.J. Stroud. They get good quarterback play. This is a championship contending team. And the thing is, last season, his play was trending back to looking like that rookie year, and then it just fell apart. Are they able to rebuild him? This is a remade offensive line once again. They lost one of their bright stars and number two wide receiver, Jaden Higgins, yesterday to an ACL injury. That's a significant, significant injury. But it really comes down to this. One of the bigger question marks in the league, I would say, is what version of CJ Stroud do we get, not physically, but mentally?
I mean, valid points. And the Higgins injury, I called Mac the minute I saw it, because that day on the show, he was like my biggest fantasy sleeper. And I think one of the biggest breakout seasons you'll see is from Higgins. Unfortunately, the ACL, he's tabled for the entire season.
That was their wide receiver, too, going into this year.
And now we'll see what Tank Dell can do, who came back from a gruesome injury that happened in Kansas City, which was the first kind of like human moment we saw from CJ Stroud, right? The tears and the emotions. Yeah. And then last year in that Patriots debacle in the division round was like, you saw him on the sideline, and I don't feel sorry for a lot of athletes, but at that moment I was like, buddy, man, this is tough to watch, because I'm watching you just completely like, I don't know, it's like watching a pitcher that you've seen do it.
Or watching Kyle Tucker crying in the dugout the other night too after misplaying another ball and striking out, and seeing, you know, an athlete act that way. Yeah, getting like you realize it matters to them. And that's always a good thing to see, because as fans, we all say we care more than they do. And a lot of times we do. You know, there are a lot of times we do. I was watching this Michael Irvin video yesterday where he was...
Speaking of Penn State.
Yeah, exactly. He was drafted in 88, the year before Jimmy Johnson got there and played for Tom Landry in his final year. And Michael Irvin said, and I don't know how I feel about this, but he said he went to Jimmy Johnson because there were games in 1988 where the veterans would say that we don't care if we win or lose, our paycheck cashes, right? And Michael Irvin didn't like that. He goes, I was a snitch. I went to Jimmy Johnson and ratted out all those people because I didn't want them on my team and I wanted to get rid of them. And I'm like, oh my, you're going down that rabbit hole. You're chasing these guys that don't want to win off your team. So there are guys out there in professional sports, fellas, that don't care about winning, and we see it all the time. And so to have a guy like CJ Stroud, or even Kyle Tucker to that extent, showing that emotion that it really bothers them, that should be great for a fan to see.
Give me your top three quarterbacks that are the most pressure in 2026.
Under the most pressure? Well, I think Patrick Mahomes is nationally, but not for me locally. But I think nationally, everybody's going to say Josh Allen's under pressure. Joe Burrow's under pressure. This guy's out here basically telling everybody, if we don't win this year, you're trading me. I mean, that's essentially what he said yesterday.
Yeah, and if I'm the Bengals, I'm like, shut up.
Yeah, right. Like, this is it.
We get to decide what we're going to do, actually.
Yeah, but that was Joe Burrow laying the groundwork, you know, telling the Bengals that you better win this year. So there's pressure on him to go out there and win. And I think there is pressure on C.J. Stroud. There's no doubt about it right now. But I also think all these other guys, the Josh Allens, the Joe Burrows, the Lamar Jacksons, these people that are starting to get into the double digits of their career and still haven't been to a Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl, you got to think the pressure on those guys internally has been ramped up. Like, I got to imagine Josh Allen right now is feeling that pressure of trying to get to a Super Bowl, because he's got fewer years now left than he's played, you know, just based on math. And so, well, maybe not with a quarterback at this point. Maybe he's got 10 more years. But even still, I mean, the clock is ticking for a lot of these guys right now. So I think the pressure mounts for Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, maybe even Matthew Stafford a little bit to get one more before he goes into the sunset.
Yeah, I think all the Rams have pressure for sure.
I think you nailed two of mine. I think the top three quarterbacks, and I wrote it down, in 2026, under the most pressure, according to myself, CJ Stroud's number one. Because to the text line as well, he's declined every year since he had his rookie year. And I know he went 7-1 in the last eight games of the season last year. But I mean, was he the reason for that? And I don't think that's the case. He got the exercised option. So now he's playing for the career, the second contract, right? Do you get the second contract, right? Especially with that team. I think Joe Burrow's under a ton of pressure. I think he's under a mass amount of pressure.
Self-inflicted, too.
They signed Higgins for you. You have Jamar Chase. You found Chase Brown, the diamond in the rough of a running back who I think is fine. I think he can do everything that you need him to do. He did that last year. And then I think Josh Allen's under pressure, because I think this is – I did it with Derrick Henry last year, where I think this is where he falls off, and I'm done doing that. But I think this is the last year that the national media says it's Josh Allen's time, because – at what point is it the boy who cried wolf?
Yeah, right.
This is his year. Well, last year was his year. Mm-hmm. He had Bo Nix, Drake May, CJ Stroud himself. Those were the final four quarterbacks in the AFC picture last year. Josh Allen, CJ Stroud, Bo Nix, and Drake May. If you asked anybody today who you'd rather take, they would look at you in your face and you'd laugh.
Right.
And you'd be like, well, that guy that you think is the best one didn't survive those three quarterbacks. And one of them he played against was Bo Nix, and he was horrible in that game.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you hear that quote from Dan Orlovsky saying, can he shake off the cobwebs from last year's playoff run for CJ Stroud? He could have been talking about Josh Allen as well. And
it's a big year for Josh Allen.
At what point do you just say, maybe it just doesn't happen? Maybe, yeah. Maybe you are Karl Malone.
Yeah, maybe you are Jim Kelly.
You know, maybe you are that quarter. Hell, at least Jim Kelly. Hell, he went to four Super Bowls.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And can Josh Allen get him there? Can you
That's
at
a
least
good point.
Get
I wasn't even thinking about going to the Super Bowl.
Can you
Bowl?
At least
thinking,
get to the Super Bowl? At least Burrow's been there and lost one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts has a Super Bowl ring. You do not. You're Josh Allen. You're bloviated by everyone that says you're the best quarterback in the league. Well, then go prove it.
Go prove it. Go,
and that's a lot of pressure to get under. And I think those are the three guys. And you could put as a candidate, you could put Lamar Jackson in there as well.
I think Lamar with the new coach is very interesting to me. I love that kind of dynamic down there with Lamar and this new coach, because it's so intriguing and nobody knows what to expect, but everybody's telling us it's going to be just fine and it's going to be awesome and they're going to be great. I don't know. You had an 18-year head coach that won every year, and you fired him for a guy that's never done it before. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think there's a lot of quarterback. I think Baker Mayfield, there's a lot of pressure, not from a team perspective, but from an individual perspective, because he wants to get paid, right?
Bryce Young, Jalen Hurts, both guys with pressure. Yeah, yep. For sure.
I just think that
Jalen Hurts is always going to have pressure, regardless of what he does, because of that market. And they change offensive coordinators every damn year in Philadelphia, too. It's crazy with Jalen Hurts. When is that guy? Like, that guy's actually gone to a Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl, and people go, Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen. Jalen Hurts needs to do something. And he's, quite frankly, accomplished more than Josh Allen has.
Yeah, his team has.
Yeah.
His team has. Yeah, he has not individually. But, yeah, no, he's got to prove that. I mean, they got rid of A.J. Brown, so that offense needs to be good. Jalen Hurts is going to be the leader of that.
And they bring in a rookie.
By subtraction, maybe there.
But they're cool. They shook hands yesterday in the joint practice, so they're,
yeah,
they're friends.
So
will any team improve as much at one thing as the Chiefs did in their running game? We'll talk about that next, plus a great little quote that I saw yesterday on the internet here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Emma Johnson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.